Technorama episode 352 for August 15th, 2012. Where did we go wrong?
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Pay no attention to that man behind the... What? Where?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew. Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Tech Around for August 15, 2012. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me, as always, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Man, I'm good. And the Olympics are finally over.
I think I pointed the wrong way last time. You're in that window.
Are you this sure?
Way? No, this way.
No, I didn't work last time.
You're over there.
Yeah, when I looked later, it was wrong. And Julie's here.
Hey, Julie.
Hello.
This is Julie's last time on the couch before she heads back to college.
Nope.
Yes.
She'll be with us in Dragon Con.
We're not bringing the couch to Dragon Con.
Well, why not?
You have
it
to
doesn't
pay for the
fit
extra
in the overhead.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit in the overhead. It's not going to Dragon Con.
Okay, fine. You need one of those George Jetson ones. You hit the button, it goes, you know, and you just
fold
put
up
it in
the
your
car.
Luggage.
Fold up the whole studio.
Yeah.
Isn't that how that works?
Sure. Yeah, and he goes into a little briefcase and he carries it on and da, 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 da.
Yeah, what year was that supposed to take place? We're there yet, aren't we?
Hey, what year was the Jetsons supposed to take place?
Did they ever say?
It was the future.
The future.
And it was Seattle, according to the architecture.
Seattle. A bunch of space needles everywhere.
Coming up in this episode, we have 10 print Hello World, 20 go to 10, and 30 RAM I never run. Oh, none of that and more coming up right after this.
Hi, this is Hugh, the host and editor of the Way of the Buffalo podcast. Twice a month, we present the best short fiction of all genres, thought-provoking interviews, and other diverse entertainments. You can find us online at wayofthebuffalopodcast.blogspot.com or search for us on iTunes. Some people say that short fiction is going the way of the buffalo. Come join us, won't you?
How are you, Craig?
I'm good.
You sound good there, Grandpa.
The Illusion Islands.
The Elusive Islands?
It's next door to Fantasy Island.
The plane.
Tattoo, why are you chain smoking again?
The plane boss.
Did it sound okay to you?
You sound bad.
Shut up, man.
Welcome back. Hey, every week we do the show live, but we'll talk about that in just a second. First, we have some feedback from the listeners.
Really? Somebody's listening?
At least two. That's what we got this week. First one is from TJ in PA. He's got con questions. Like, suddenly we've become con artists. Oh, wait, that didn't come out right.
You know.
Oh, I hope this is the right number, otherwise somebody's going to say... I don't understand why this person is leaving this message. Hi, everybody. This is TJ from Pennsylvania. I've been listening to Technorama for probably like 5 years at least.
Cool.
I think I remember the earliest episode that had something to do. You guys took a tour of like a wind farm somewhere. It was way before the computer museum stuff. Anyway, it's been quite a while. I haven't called in because I didn't think I actually had anything interesting to say. But here's the deal. I've been a geek from way back. I've done some costuming. I was into whole Renfest thing at one point, et cetera, et cetera. So what I'm getting at is that my wife suddenly came up with the idea the other day, and this is probably due to an awesome documentary we saw. She wanted to go to Comic-Con.
I think that was Comic-Con.
Hey, you know, it would be really cool to go sometime and, you know, maybe just do some geek watching. Because mm-hmm. she's really not a media geek so much. I mean, she likes some, you know, movies of the genre, but not really. Not like myself or my daughter, Chloe, who's only three, but is already a rabid Star Wars fan.
Sweet!
So what I'm getting at here is that I know you guys have gone to Dragon Con at least once or twice.
Never.
I wanted to get some advice and pick your brains on going to Dragon Con or these major conventions with family. Because I've never done it before. I've never actually done one.
Me neither.
Too small with by myself, just a day trip kind of thing. And the other two-parter from this is that what would be a good family costume to do? I was thinking about maybe Ghostbusters or Fallout because they're kind of easier costumes because they're jumpsuits.
Dr. Horrible.
Actually, I was also thinking about maybe doing Men in Black.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, I was thinking probably one, well, you know, at least one, but I mean, I think maybe doing two costumes per person. There's three of us with a budget of around $500 total. So I'm not really sure what good ideas would be. At the moment, my wife is looking to lean towards maybe a Wonder Woman thing, but just kind of modified a little bit. Myself, I don't really know. I'm kind of a big guy, so I was actually thinking about doing maybe Fred Flintstone and have my daughter do Pebbles.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I don't know if she'd really go for that, so then I was thinking about doing, a vault dweller from Fallout. And maybe she would be a Jawa or something like that. Just, you know, they don't necessarily need to all link up. But these are some ideas. She's also into Batman a whole lot, so she was actually kind of leaning towards Batgirl also when I kind of mentioned it to her. So anyway, just hoping to get some advice from you guys. Feel free to chop this up any way you feel like doing. Sorry if I'm rambling here, but thank you very much for the advice and the shows over the years. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening, and
we'll
that was a whole
edit
lot of stuff.
That. I'm
yeah, yeah. Sure, whatever. Yeah, we do our best at that.
So you guys are experts on costuming, right?
Yeah, and bringing our families. This is the first year I'm bringing Julie to the con. He's got some good points. You want my advice? Keep it simple. If you just want to go to Geek Watch, that's fun too, and then you get some ideas. You go, hey, we could do that. If your daughter is smaller, I seriously considered this when Julie was younger to dress her up as Pebbles for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause she had the most adorable face and the curly red hair and whatnot. It was just too easy.
If you want to have some fun and you do go to Dragon Con and you do dress up as Men in Black, come go in the parade with us.
Absolutely.
See, that would be, to me, that's the most fun. I mean, it's fun to watch the parade. Actually, I take that back. I didn't have much fun watching the parade because the one time we were spectators,
yep.
I was trying to look over everybody, but being in it.
Yeah, it was hard to see.
Yeah, but being in it, we were messing with the people as we went by and, you know, just talking junk. And it was a lot of fun, you know, to actually be participating in it.
It was surreal to be walking in that parade.
Yeah.
Thousands.
Two times we've
thousands
done
and thousands of people. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun.
I do like the Flintstones idea, though.
Yeah, we have seen some pretty good Flintstones over the years.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not for his costume.
You were saying something, Julie?
No.
Okay. Julie is going as Men in Black and
Amy Pond.
Yep. Remember, if you wear more than one outfit, you gotta pack more than one outfit.
More than one pair of shoes, in my case.
Yeah.
And you know,
I may be packing some of her stuff.
And see, that's pretty light compared to some of the people we've seen where they had the
goodness.
Yeah, they have the luggage carts and they're like two and three. I mean, they got huge cases of just their costuming stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah, just some of them may drive in or have it shipped in, too. So he does have a second part to this
real
quick.
The other thing I forgot to mention, this is TJ from PA again. The other thing I was wondering is, do you guys have any thoughts on Comic-Con versus Dragon-Con? We're up from just south of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. So Balticon's not too far away, and I was actually thinking about maybe doing that as a warm-up, but kind of planning on just doing this next year, and I forgot where Balticon falls into the mix as far as all the different conventions. So, and then, you know, my wife Jamie was thinking doing one of the big ones to start off with anyway, and just jump in with both feet. So I was kind of thinking Dragon Con, because somebody I talked to said that basically you can sit in line for like up to 8 to 12 hours for a big panel at
or an iPhone
at Comic-Con versus Dragon Con. You might get like a 2 hour wait. Also, it sounds like Dragon Con might have more varied panels, etc. So anyway, just wanted your advice on that too. Thanks, guys, and Julie, and y'all have a good one. Bye-bye.
So here's my take on it. This is just one man's opinion. Comic-Con, there's various Comic-Cons. There's San Diego Comic-Con. There's, I don't even know where the rest of them are. San Diego's the big one that I know about. And it's all one convention in the San Diego Convention Center. And there's other stuff happening that's not part of the convention, but it's kind of part of the...
Yeah, like the zombie walk we were talking
about. Like the zombie walk at Petco Park, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it is all one thing around the media industry. Dragon Con, however, is a little more diverse. A, it's spread out among at least four major hotels: Hyatt, Hilton, Marriott, Westin. I think it's starting to spread even further than that. And the genres, the tracks, are more diversified also. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's movies and there's comics. There's also games, robotics and science. Yeah. And
well,
puppets.
See, at Dragon Con...
Puppets, yeah.
At Dragon Paranormal. Con, you're going to get all kinds of little panels, little niche panels too, like, you know, steampunk Star Wars or you know.
Yeah, yeah.
There's all kinds of little niche stuff in there.
Balticon, you did mention Balticon, and I have not been to that. That I would love to. That's on Memorial Day weekend in Baltimore, hence the name. And I understand a lot of podcasters kind of hang out there now, too. Yeah. It's a smaller venue than either Dragon Con or Comic Con, but it gives you more of that personal feel from what I'm told by the people who do attend that.
Yeah. So I think you're going to get plenty if you went to Comic Con or you went to Dragon Con. It's just... You know, they're both diverse enough. You're going to end up seeing a bunch of stuff that you're going to enjoy.
We have another listener feedback from...
Two?
Yeah. None other than Bruce Barr.
Hey, guys.
Barr.
It is I, Bruce. Call again.
Yay!
Commenting about a couple things on the show there. So, I don't know. This is the old Siri, not, you know, on the iPhone 4, not the new 4S, you know.
And Siri doesn't work on the 4.
All the new fancy Siri yesness. But, you know... So all I can do is, you know, say I want to call people in my contact list.
Oh, okay.
Like it pronounces Technorama really funny, though. She says, Technorama.
See your doctor anyway, before taking Technorama.
The TRS-80 Model 1.
Woohoo!
The memories. I actually mentioned this, I think, on another podcast where I, you know, was going back in time and talking about all the technology I learned along the way. I remember when the Model 1 first came out, and it was back when I was in college, because I'm about 10 years older than Chuck, and there was
one
Radio Shack that actually had one in stock in the store. You could actually walk in and see it. This was unheard of at the time because you pre-ordered them and they basically went out the front door as soon as they came in the back door. But back in that time period, there were three franchise stores in Kansas City that were Radio Shack franchise dealers, not Radio Shack owned stores.
Hmm.
And one of them was out in Johnson County, Kansas, conveniently in a little shopping center about 5 minutes drive or 10 minutes drive away from another shopping center where my girlfriend in college had a part-time job selling fashion. And rumor had it that this guy had one of them, and I would drive her down when she was working and then drive over and play on the computer for, you know, like 2.5 hours and then drive back to prep and drive back to the college campus. And eventually, he actually hired me because I was in there all the time anyway. And he hired me part-time to sell the things. It turns out that, technically speaking, that thing belonged to his brother-in-law. And he had convinced his brother-in-law to buy this computer from him and let him keep it in the store. And ostensibly, he was supposed to be writing some kind of software to run the brother-in-law's business. But really, what it was he was getting people to come to his store because they could actually see it and feel it and type on it and everything. And
the Apple experience.
That was really my first machine that I got access to that had the full basic and all that kind of stuff, and the video monitor and teaching yourself how to program and all that kind of stuff. So, anyway, kind of fond memories of the old Trash 80. I know everybody likes to trash them, but it really was one of the first of the time. I would argue, though, that the whole you can buy a nice iPad, those were $1,975. So you can probably buy yourself something even better than an iPad.
Yeah, right.
And comparatively speaking, the amount of power there, I mean, you know, your average watch nowadays probably has more power than that thing.
No kidding. Ain't that the truth?
Just thought I would call in and talk a little bit about the old computing days there. And also, I'm probably going to start audio booing and putting in my RSS feed for this here podcast in the dog days of summer. So look forward to that. Bye.
He should. He with the stuff he's got to say, I don't know if he'll fit into 3 minutes, but I'd love to hear a regular podcast from Bruce Barr.
Hey, by the way, you mentioned it, and I had a couple other people mention it. My podcast the other night got cut off, and I'm like, I had 5 minutes, yet I recorded for, just over three, and you said something.
The podcast gods hate you.
I was like, man, and sure enough, on my device, it even is 3 minutes on it as well, so I'm like, so it definitely got cut off.
And then, Craig.
Hey, not only that, get this. I recorded one last night, and I don't know where it went.
I was going to ask you, where's last night?
Who knows? I'm going to record tonight.
I think you're next. Now, tell the listener who hasn't heard what your personal podcast is called.
Right. Look what I found.
Okay. You better go find your podcast.
I know. Well, I thought, here's the problem. I went to post it, probably about, I did it late. I've been doing mine in the evening, like about 11 or so. Yeah. And I just fired it away. And next thing I know, you're like, hey, what happened? And then Mark, Caffeinated One, what happened? It's cut off. I'm like,
yeah, right in mid-sentence. Now, we just ran out of time tonight. We were going, blah, 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 blah. Whoa, we're out of time.
Yeah.
And it was done. It was goodbye. 3, 2, 1.
Yeah. So I'm going to kind of reboot. I don't know what happened to the one last night, but I'm going to kind of recap and kind of reboot. Do it again.
They're kind of fun. Hey, we got one more mysterious voicemail. I'm not sure what this is about. Sounds like I woke somebody up out of bed.
Fine. Put on. Wear it, man. Light on. Somebody might look through the door. Put this on. Me, it's different, man.
Okay.
So with that feedback from 2.5 listeners?
Do you have to be, what is it called? Lucid when you do
this? Yeah, right.
So that was fun. Hey, we've been at this for about 20 minutes already, and we haven't even gotten to the part where we give birthdays and things. We have a chat room going every Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern. We'd love to see you there. Tonight we have, you and me, and looks like they didn't pick a theme. We have Gru, Mad Marv, Null Operations, Tim Elliott, WSM, and ZML 2008. Apparently, Racer X was there a little earlier. He was our faithful listener from, 2 weeks ago? Now 3 weeks.
Well, we say faithful because he's been listening to our back catalog.
Yeah, he's really getting the full flavor. Flipping over to the birthday calendar, we have several on August 17th. Clive Jevons from Bommenheim, German. No, is that another person? Bommenheim, German? And Kevin, which is Susie the Geek's son. Happy birthday, Kevin. They list him here as Geek in Training. Honorable mention. The 19th, we have Brian Letecki and Matt Ryder.
You said Brian the Techie.
Me too.
The Techie.
Yeah.
That rhymes. If I'm saying that wrong, then cool. It sounds cooler this way.
Yeah.
Brian Letecky the Techie. We'll just, he's now got a new nickname. That's kind of how we invented Lenny's last name. And on the 20th, Jedi Kez, a.k.a. Brian from Winnipeg. Happy birthday to all of you. If it happens to be your birthday this week, we wish you all the best. If it's your birthday and you're not on the calendar, get over there and fix that. I know I see people once or twice a week going and tweaking the calendar. So I know that it still works because I get the notification. So-and-so yep. has updated one of your pages. Thank you very much, and jump on over to the wiki at chuckchat.com/wiki or click on the wiki link on the Technorama page. You'll see it there. And join us, 9:30 Eastern, for these Hangouts. You know, you can DVR the Olympics closing ceremonies and watch it later, but, you know, this is once in a lifetime.
Or if you're watching NBC, you can just watch it about 6 hours later.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's already, 6 hours later
in the
U.S. They're
doing the DVRing for you.
That works for me. On this day in history for August 15, 2012, it was on this date in 293 BC that the oldest known Roman temple to Venus is dedicated.
And today in 1914, the male savant of American architect Frank Lloyd Wright sets fire to the living quarters of the architect's Wisconsin home. Taliesin murders seven people. Oh, and burns the living quarters to the ground. Whoosh.
Nice.
Yeah.
The Panama Canal opens to traffic with the transit of the cargo ship SS Ancon on August 15th, 1914.
And 77 years ago, Will Rogers and Wiley Post are killed after their aircraft develops engine problems during takeoff in Barrow, Alaska.
On this date in 1965, the Beatles played to nearly 60,000 fans at Shea Stadium in New York City in an event later seen as marking the birth of stadium rock.
Yeah, and speaking of rock, the Woodstock Music Art and Festival Art Festival opens 43 years ago today.
It was August 15th, 1971. President Richard Nixon completes the break from the gold standard by ending convertibility of the United States dollar into gold by foreign investors.
And it was on this date in 1977, the Big Ear, a radio telescope operated by Ohio State University as part of the SETI project, receives a radio signal from deep space. The event was named the WOW signal from the notation made by a volunteer in the project.
Hey, we talked to Seth Shostak about that.
That's right.
Happy birthday goes on this day to Napoleon Bonaparte, born today in 1769.
And also born today in 1963, Russian engineer and mathematician Alexei Krylov.
You got that one right?
Krylov.
New Zealand astronomer and mechanical computation designer Leslie Comrie was born on this date in 1893.
And August 15th, 1896, the birthday of Russian inventor Leon Theremin.
Gee, I wonder what he invented.
Noisy.
And finally, American astronaut Scott Altman turns 53. And that's the way it was on this day in history for August 15th, 2012.
Bad news, fancy men.
Go ahead. She giggles every time. You know why?
Why is that?
Fancy men is the old way of saying pimp.
Which really makes it even funnier.
Yeah.
I am Titanius Maximus, fancy man of Cornwood. All right. First up, we have... Oh, my articles are out of order here. There we go. Physics prize dwarfs all others. When Alan Guth received an email from colleague asking if he could discuss a new annual prize in physics, he recalls, "I thought I was being asked to be on an organizing committee." Instead, the other physicist, Nima Arkani Hamed, at the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton, New Jersey, told Guth that they were among the winners of a $3 million award. Guth, a theorist at MIT in Cambridge who introduced the idea of cosmic inflation, assumed that they would have the prize to split. But Arkani Hamed surprised him again, saying they each $1.3 million.
Hey, and each time he was told that, he would spit his coffee out. What?
Well, he fell on the ground. This is put on by a Russian internet entrepreneur, excuse me, last name is Milner. Trying to remember what his first
Yuri
name
Milner.
Is. What's that?
Yuri Milner.
Yuri Milner. Thank you very much. And these people are sort of like not the Nobel laureates, but he wanted to recognize them anyway. So he did kind of what Alfred Nobel did with his dynamite winnings and said, I'm going to make an award for all these people. So 9 people got $3 million each. This is more money than you get for a Nobel Prize. So if you ask me, yeah, I'd rather have this contest.
And you know what's really cool is after this first set, the next set of winners are picked by previous winners.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it kind of keeps the cycle going. This is for people that have made some great contributions, but not quite Nobel, like you said, level.
What if you want to run twice in a row? Can you vote for
you
yourself?
Vote for yourself? I don't know. Hmm. There's some other stipulations that are kind of neat, but it's all designed to kind of have it feed on itself as people win.
After a while, it's going to break down and just turn into that league like on Pirates of the Caribbean where everybody just votes for themselves.
Yeah, I'm in.
One vote for me. Nobody wins.
Yeah.
Okay. Yuri's going to get ticked off at that one. But congratulations to all these guys. We want to see what more they come up with. That's pretty cool.
Oh, I think he did get a little of a flack for not gearing this towards younger people that were making promises and promising, you know, marches in their field, you know. So that was one of the controversies. I think I read in that article too. So,
well, last week we talked about a bit about Curiosity landing, and while Curiosity was landing, gentleman at NASA by the name of Bobak Ferdowsi was sporting a massive mohawk hairdo and became a meme and an overnight internet sensation in himself. He's got 44,000 Twitter followers. He's received online marriage proposals. It's nuts. And he's like, hey, man, I'm just doing my job. He's got a mohawk. It's got some stars on the side. Pretty awesome looking dude.
Well, I remember when I was watching some video feedback of the stream the next morning, it's like you're watching it and you're expecting to see all these stodgy looking guys, you know, and, you know, polos.
Yeah,
and
like from
thing.
The 60s, a flat top, you know, Gene Kranz kind of thing.
Whoa, what was that? Some dude with a mohawk? it's kind of like punk rock, you know, at NASA. So, yeah, it's really cool. But
he
I
looks more like
attitude.
A call center guy in this picture.
What's that?
He looks more like he's manning the call center.
I'm sorry.
Thanks for calling NASA. How may I help you?
Yeah. He's at a call center. No, what was cool was his quote. He says, hey, you know, if it brings attention to NASA to show that you don't have to look, you can look like what you want and still participate in science, you know, and he was referring to getting kids interested. He said, then I'll do my hair anyway. They want me to.
He had to take out his piercings for the photo, though.
His brow piercing and no, but he seemed like he had a cool attitude about it. I hope he has a girlfriend. I hope she can overlook these proposals.
Yeah.
To the moon. No, wait.
To Mars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hacks and strange stories. In the Hacks and Strange Stories, we have a, we love Legos. And there's nothing more than Legos that have something to do with space or science or sci-fi. Somebody has made a 7-foot-long Lego replica of the Firefly Serenity spaceship.
Yes, and it is quite beautiful.
How?
Lot of bricks.
Yeah.
Were they just going off pictures and stuff?
No, there are lots of technical drawings and plans. Yeah. If you look online.
Hey, for all the Star Wars ships, there's like blueprints available.
Yep.
You know?
Oh my gosh, wow.
So, same idea. Yeah.
And
it took this thing weighs over 135 pounds. It took him 475 hours, spanning 21 months.
70,000 bricks. The ship doesn't just look great on the outside. It also contains all the compartments from the set except the engine room, which proved impossible to build while maintaining structural integrity of the ship. Cargo bay and drive light up. Very cool. Both engines rotate. The wings swing out. And Inara's shuttle detaches. It's an incredible feat of Lego engineering. Oh, yeah. You can see Inara's little shuttle on the side.
Yeah. And there's a link in the article to his Flickr account. And there is a lot more pictures, more detailed pictures than just in this article. And you can get a real, really big, good feel on how this thing's turned out. It's fantastic.
How long did that take him, I wonder?
475 hours.
Oh, smokes.
Did they include Wash's little dinosaurs?
Yes. Look at the cockpit.
Oh my gosh, they did.
Yeah.
I was joking.
We will mate on this fertile land. Da, 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 da.
And we will call it
this land.
Yeah, that's right.
They're a little over scale, but they're there.
Yeah. And on this Flickr account, you can see the walkway, you know, where they can climb down to the bunks, or mm-hmm. they have the walkway that goes up to the cockpit. He has pictures of all that stuff too. It's really amazing.
That's cool. Legos are fun.
Yeah. Well, this is like a job. Look at it. I mean, 21 months. Who has that kind of time?
He has no job. He has no family.
Apparently. Well, his 21 months would have been in 2008. So, yeah, maybe he lost his job. I don't know.
Or he's got brain damage.
Yeah, see, there's an upside of the economy tanking.
Speaking of brain damage, we have a brainwave-controlled version of Pong. That's right. The classic old favorite can now be played. Well, you know, they ought to hook this up to, like, more Wii games and things. Then you wouldn't need any controller. You wouldn't need any Kinect. You just use your brain.
Yeah.
Matrix.
They hooked this up. Few video games are more basic than Pong. That's an understatement. But Charles Moyes and Ming Chang Chiang version is incredibly complex. The two Cornell University students built a custom electroencephalograph, or EEG, device. So that's why I'm reading it, because Craig would have got tripped up on electroencephalograph.
That's not true.
Yeah, sure. Try it.
Let me read it. no, go ahead.
So they could control the game's on-screen paddle with their minds. Hey, hook this up to Stephen Hawking, see what happens. The alpha waves. Yeah. What's that?
It explodes.
It turns into a black hole.
Pong is too simplistic for him.
The alpha waves that EEG machines read are faint electrical signals. Moyes and Jiang ran the EEG readings through the amplification circuit to filter and boost signals. The amplified readings are then digitized and sent over USB to the computer running the game. Spiking alpha waves produced during relaxation moves the player's paddle up, and smaller waves indicating concentration move it down. Oh, so you just, like, relax?
Well, it can't be.
That would take a bit of practice, I think.
Well, do you remember the little Jedi mind game that they were selling? And it had like a ping pong ball you could make go up and down?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be much more difficult to make than that.
Tetris would be fun, too.
Hey, wait, Chuck, remember we talked about that Jedi mind game, and this one guy rigged it up where if you thought something... Was it if you changed your thought waves, it would shock you?
What?
So they were you had to keep a certain level of alpha waves, and then otherwise, people were like, "Oh God,
that's my kind of video game." If it doesn't have some sort of electrical shock feedback.
Yeah, it was a real game. That's the problem. But anyway, I can't imagine that'd be too difficult to make.
And finally, someone on Imgur found a...
Something.
Well, we're not... We think... get the screenshot up there so the people on the live stream and the video can watch that. Yeah, it's kind of a Star Trek Enterprise D and kind of a Millennium Falcon. It's like Picard was out shopping for used parts one day after the Borg attacked and said, "Number one. That little cockpit thing on the left. I think we should put the bridge over there."
Yeah, it's like they brought in the Enterprise for repairs, and After shore leave, they came back to inspect the ship, and it's like,
I think it looks good. I think it looks good. All right, no more binars working on the Enterprise.
There was a zero when there should have been a one.
What sort of knockoff is this?
Generic spaceship.
Yeah.
So they don't get in. Right, so they don't get any trademark infringement. They just infringe everybody.
Well, look, I wonder. See how the front is flat? You know, if you can see right here in the viewer, it's flat right in the front.
Yeah.
And the way she's holding, I assume that's a little girl. Yeah, a little girl's dress. The way she's holding it, it looks like a pistol grip under. I wonder if it shoots something.
It's a squirt gun.
No, I could shoot those little discs. That'd be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pew, pew, pew. Launch photon No, they couldn't be photon torpedoes. That'd be too Star Trek-like.
I actually want one now.
No.
No.
No, you don't. No, yeah, you don't. We are going to take a quick break and be right back with the Remember When segment, where we are going to talk about, oh, goodness, more things from 25 years ago or more, which is what we do in Remember When. And, oh, please, Hollywood, tell me you're not remaking one of my childhood favorite movies.
Two longtime fans of two Bionic shows discuss an episode in detail every 2 weeks with one guest host. The $6 million Man, The Bionic Woman, The Mythology, A Look Behind the Scenes, those sound effects, and the fashions. Oh my God, the fashions. Cyborgs, a Bionic podcast, hosted by John S. Drew and Paul K. Bisson. Find us at chronicriff.com/cyborgs or subscribe on iTunes.
This is Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica, and you're listening to Technorama.
Segment we have 25 years ago, science thinkers predicted the world of 2012. Now, were you? Science, I gotta ask thinkers? You, were you? These are the foremost thinking men of our day. In 1987, which wasn't too long ago, were you looking at the pictures here, Craig, or were you reading the captions on the right?
Because they words? Were not,
yeah, they were not agreeing with each other.
There's words, I was just looking at the picture.
Yeah, we know what other magazines you do that with, too.
No comment.
So, what is it about these pictures that enthralled you?
Look at them. They're awesome. Well, you got the
city
with the stretch helicopter, of course, but all the buildings are circular at the bottom with the balloon.
That's not circular buildings. That's nuclear reactors.
they're powering the tall buildings.
Right.
It says, Isaac Asimov, assuming that we haven't destroyed ourselves in a nuclear war, which we haven't.
We did that.
Yet. There will be 8 to 10 billion of us on the planet and widespread hunger. These troubles can be tracked back to President Ronald Reagan, who smiled and waved too much. What?
Right. Right. We're not going to go through all 14 of these, but there are some dandies. We've got interesting cars floating or doing something down
this
a highway by themselves.
This was only 25 years ago. How'd they think we'd come this far?
I don't know. How far did we come in the 25 before that?
True.
Right? 62 to 87?
Oh, wow,
technologically,
yeah.
That was pretty far.
Hey, wait a minute.
And we...
Here you go. What is the world's population?
It's over 7 billion right now.
Oh, she was going to tell me. It's 6.9.
Oh, no, wait. We cracked 7 by a scientist. I like image number 4, which looks like one of the German World War II prototype planes with the counter-rotating propellers on a rocket. That's
just
lovely.
Fly in space? I mean, in air?
And landing, the only way to land that is vertically.
Oh, by the way.
Jack Williamson writes on this one, if we had a time phone, what is that, from Doctor Who? Yeah. Now in 1987, we would beg you to forgive us. We have burdened you with the impossible debts, wasted and polluted the planet that should have been your rich heritage, left you instead a dreadful legacy of ignorance, want, and war. Such an optimist.
I know. Mm-hmm. But it's funny, I believe it or not, I'm actually reading Dr. Michio Kaku's book, the one we interviewed him about, the Physics of the Future.
Physics of the Future, or, yeah.
Physics of the Impossible.
Second one is Physics of the Future.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
And I'm reading it, right, and he's talking about how people have predicted since the 1800s how we're going to, you know, in the future we'll have huge population and hunger and starvation, and that's why I was laughing about that first panel. Cause,
yeah, it happened.
It never quite came about, so, and it still hasn't, so.
Image number 6 has our favorite computer lady on it, the computer space game with, that we saw
the evening, with the evening dress.
With the evening dress, yeah. Or negligee, or whatever that is.
Yeah, see, in our computer history video, I was thinking, wow, I wish I would see her in the arcades.
The caption is, Jerry Pournelle, his quote is, a computer will win the Campbell and Hubbard Awards. Whatever those are.
What is the Camel Award?
Soup.
No,
that's the Campbell and Cupboard.
Yeah, Campbell. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's funny.
In the media corner, should we just skip the media corner thing and move right along because we're running a little late here? Elf the movie is happening. Julie, do you even know who Elf is?
I have a vague concept.
Elf is a sitcom show from the 80s. He was an alien from Melmac. He was kind of a Muppet because people controlled his hands and his mouth.
Yeah, and every once in a while, they'd have, like, somebody in a little suit because you would see his feet as he's running around.
Yeah, he had to walk. Yeah.
Okay.
And he ate cats?
Yes.
And he was always just about to eat the family cat, but they stopped him just in time.
Always.
Well, that was always the case. The article in HitFix reads, better hide your beloved felines, America, because Elf is back. That's right, the studio that brought you last year's box office blockbuster, The Smurfs, oh, that was a blockbuster, is now developing a big screen version of the quote-unquote well-known 1980s sitcom. And like the earlier effort, it'll take the form of a live-action / CGI hybrid, probably starring some B-level actors.
CGI Elf?
Yeah, it's like CGI Yoda. It just ain't going to work.
Did you see the ads? I don't think you saw the movie, but did you see the ads for Ted?
Yeah.
I thought they did a good job. I actually watched the movie, and I thought they did a good job with the bear. Because it looked, although animated, but it looked good. Yeah. You know, like it belonged, I should say. So, I don't know. I like Alf, but, you know.
I kill me!
Yes.
I only remember a few lines.
There was even an animated cartoon for Alf.
They made fun of him on The Simpsons. Milhouse went, look, Bart, Alf is back in Pog form. Pogs are like the cardboard milk bottle caps.
Yeah.
They used to be popular like when they had milk bottles, but then they came back with them later. They're about the consistency of this coaster. Yeah, for just a little while, maybe 10, 15 years ago. To try and get kids to trade those, like Pokemon cards and things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that went over well.
Yeah. Well, again, I don't know if I see an Alf movie. I do like Alf. Did you watch his talk show he had for a little while?
Oh, goodness. I almost forgot about that. Thank you very notly.
Well, it had a few moments that were funny. The guy that does the voice, I think he's pretty sharp because he was making wisecracks and doing the puppet. You know, and interacting with the people. I think he's really good at it, but...
Is he also going to be... Is he still around, and is he going to be the voice in the movie?
Yes, and yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good enough. Let's move on to Star Trek, because it's more fun to talk about and make fun of.
Sure.
TrekMovie.com reports that... we have the first vignette of Star Trek Continues, which is a fan series that picks up where original series left off. So it's in the vein of original series. And there's a clip on here from Turnabout Intruder, you know, where the lady takes over Kirk's body and they switch and she's trying to be the captain. And they do the final scene.
We've seen
scene
that kind
in
of
that
movie a million times. Ugh.
Yeah. How many times does Kirk leave his body? Or be duplicated?
I was thinking about that awful movie with Kirk Cameron back in the day.
No. Different.
Freaky Friday on the Enterprise.
That's exactly what it was.
But hey, did you watch this clip?
I did watch the clip. It was very, very accurate.
Actually, except, yeah.
You know, Scotty was a little tall, but you know who plays Scotty?
His son.
James Doohan's son. You know who plays Sulu?
Yeah, Grant Imahara.
How cool is that? It that is almost cool. Makes it, you know, worth watching just for the fun of it.
Well, as soon as I saw it come down the wire, I went, oh, I got to see this because I knew Grant was in it and I was curious to see how his acting was, which, you know, it was okay. You only saw him for a moment talking.
Did you see Grant's cameo on the final show of Eureka?
No, I haven't seen the final episode yet.
You have to watch that. That was fun.
Well, two things I want to say about this vignette, about the series they're coming out with. They did shoot it with standard definition in mind, or at least the 4:9 aspect ratio.
4:3, you mean? 4:9?
I'm sorry,
would be like,
you're right. I'm sorry, 4:3.
Looking through a mail slot.
So they shot it like they did in the original series. So you have that same kind of feel, not widescreen and HD, but they tried to give it the same feel. And I think there was actually a few times I thought the guy playing Kirk looked just like him, you know, with his head was down a little bit. I was like, wow, it looks like him. But no,
was he climbing a mountain? Why is Kirk climbing the mountain?
Yeah. Oh, no, don't start that. But anyway, I thought it was cool, and I'm looking forward to seeing the whole series. Hey, why don't, when they bring Star Trek back to TV, why don't they do this? You know, really?
What, just the original series with new actors?
Look at what
the sets
new
would
Voyages
be cheaper,
did.
That's for sure. Well, the effects would be cheaper.
No, look what New Voyages has done, okay, which has been entertaining. Look what this is doing, which is obviously spot on. They've already they hire these people. I mean, come on. I think it'd be a no-brainer.
You have to think how many people are actually going to watch a rerun, you know, new versions of a cheesy old 60s show.
Come on. You would?
There
would
be
I
a
would.
Segment. There would be a segment, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But could you capture a big enough audience to make it worthwhile?
I think if you did what New Voyages is doing, where they're kind of bridging that gap to, over the phase two area of Star Trek that never quite happened, you know, it was the motion picture. I think you could, because you could start adding a little bit of technology, you know, more technology that we've acquired, you know, as they go on. You know what I'm saying? I think it could happen.
It'd be fun. I don't know if it would be business justifiable, and that's what it's all about.
Well, I know you'd watch it, wouldn't you?
We could discuss this all day.
Hey, would you watch it though?
I would watch it, yes.
Julie?
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay.
See,
she proved your
you
point.
Gotta appeal to these younger generation. Speaking of younger generation, there was a discussion going on Facebook the other night with a local friend of mine, and he was saying, why do people still say caught on tape when everything these days is digital? You know, mm-hmm. if you're videoing it, they say, oh, we caught this on tape. Nobody uses tape. And I started thinking, there's a whole bunch of other outdated phrases like that too, like turning out the light. Nobody turns anything. That's from the gas lamp days when you had to open and shut a valve to turn the gas on and off. Yeah. What's... It's like, there's...
Oh, you know, it's funny you say that, because I saw that the other day. Was it on the news? They were showing like a little YouTube clip or something, and this guy caught it on tape. Like, or no, he taped it. Or I was like, what did he tape?
It's right. It's, if you remember earlier Scotch in the show, I said DVR the Olympics. I didn't say tape the Olympics.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of people still say tape. Oh, I taped it. Really?
Really? Was it ripped?
I repaired it.
Just curious what you, fragile listener, have heard that makes you go, huh? That's kind of an obsolete phrase. We had to come up with something more. You know, flip the light on, which some people say, because mm-hmm. you flip the switch. But
I'd have to really pay attention to it, because I do pick up on a lot of those things. I'm like, why do people still say that? But I have to
dial Craig's number, right? If I'm going to give you a call, I don't dial anything.
Dial it? Yeah, not really. You punch it. What are you going to say? Punch it in.
Tell your phone, call Craig.
Right.
Yeah. That's right.
Siri Craig. It'll become a verb soon.
Mm-hmm.
That brings us to the end of the show, that a little ponderance. That we want to remind you that there's no shows for the next couple of weeks because Julie and I are going to be out of town the next couple of weekends.
Oh, man.
Yeah. We got to get her all ready for college and whatnot. And the next show will be our live show at Dragon Con.
Yay. So, go register for the event. I got the event on Google Plus, by the way.
Yeehaw.
Or if I don't, and, I will have it shortly.
We thought of something rather entertaining, or at least we think it's entertaining tonight because we were inspired last night, which means it'll probably be in the live show. So, a lot of fun with that. And who knows? Maybe we'll offer a prize if you can win our contest that we just thought up.
Am I excluded?
We're still at the Hilton 204, right? That's been the podcasting room forever.
As far as I know.
Friday night. What's our time slot? 10?
8:30.
Are we 8:30? Who's at 10?
I wish I hadn't asked because I would have.
Okay. Friday night, just hang out there. It's going to be a blast because Clinton will be on there, and we're going right after him, and then who knows what happens after that. But just hang out Friday night at the Hilton. You can't miss. You're guaranteed to have a fun time. Until next time, we appreciate you giving us your support. You can contact the listener line at 206-222-2428 if you have any comments about this show. I'll send them along. If they're good, we'll play them. If not,
we'll mention you.
Special thanks to Mad Mar for providing all the great blog content during the week, and keep your eye on the blog. Head over to chuckchat.com/technorama for all that good stuff. Thank you to everybody who sent us stuff. We had so many links. It was unbelievable. It was a cornucopia of crappy news this week, and we thank you for sending them in. We wish we could have used them all, otherwise we'd be doing a show a day. There are some days when I look at the news feeds and go, we could do a show today. We could do a show today. We could do a show today. But
yeah,
Craig's fingers would break under the strain of editing all that stuff. So thank you very much.
Yeah.
And thanks for everybody who joined us in the Hangout. And you, of course, for downloading and listening to this show. Thank you very much.
Oh.
This show. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, and don't forget our Dog Day podcasting where Chuck, yep, I, Clinton, and Kyle, and Justin Deal, we're all podcasting every 30
absolutely
days.
Absolutely. Go listen. This show is tell a friend about Technorama. And until next time, give me a binary high five.
101. Rock on.
Technological Rome.